Romans chapter 12. I believe we preached out of Romans last week, wasn't it? Chapter 8. Amen. Don't know where we're going the next time. Living in the Christian zone. We have all seen or heard of an athlete who had a performance where he or she was unstoppable in their scoring or in their play. This brings to mind names like Stephen Curry, Serena Williams, Roger Federer, Tiger Woods, Rafael Nadal, Simone Biles, Michael Jordan. And who can forget Kobe Bryant's last game where after a lackluster final year of play with the Staples Center to the rafters with celebrities and family members, admiring fans, and a worldwide television audience, Kobe went out as old as he was and gave probably the greatest final career game ever played, where he scored 60 points and expanded his legend. It was said by most that Kobe was in a zone. He was unstoppable. Pastor Tony Evans wrote this about the zone. Quote, when an athlete talks about being in the zone, they're talking about the fact that they are playing and functioning at a whole different level. I remember hearing Michael Jordan describe being in the zone. He said, it looked like to me that the rim was this wide and I couldn't miss if I wanted to. Hall of Fame football player Emmitt Smith built a whole marketing campaign around the Emmitt zone. He described the zone as being in that place where he could smell the end zone and neither hell nor high water could keep him out. When an athlete is in the zone, that doesn't mean there are no defenders trying to stop them or tacklers trying to corral them. It simply means whoever or whatever is getting in the way will be overcome because the athlete is in the zone. Whatever resistance there is will not have the final word because the athlete is in the zone. So being in the zone does not mean that there are no problems, no struggles, or no difficulties in life. It means that the challenges are no longer dictating the outcome. They are no longer calling the shots when you are in the zone. God has a zone for his saints. It is a realm or a sphere whereby life is to be lived. Church, I believe Romans chapter 12, and before you start guessing, yes, we're going to do the whole chapter, but I'm going to do it fast. Romans chapter 12 is the gateway to the Christian zone. Let us take a look at what God, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, wants us to know about the Christian zone and how to reside and abide in it. First, in verses 1 and 2, which we just read, God gives us instructions as to what we must do to make ourselves acceptable for zone life. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. These mercies were described in chapters 1 through 11. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Notice, not a dead animal sacrifice, but your living body. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What does that mean? It means your rational service based on your knowledge of biblical facts, truth, and your experience. That is your reasonable. It's based on what you know. Not how it look, not whether God will be able to, not what you think, but what you know. And be not conformed, that is shaped by, moved and changed by, to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformed means to change in composition or structure. Transform means to change character or condition of somebody or something. Adam Clark wrote, and I quote, by the renewing of your mind means to let the inward change produce the outward change. Let me let that settle for a minute. Let the inward change produce the outward change, where the spirit, the temper, and disposition of the mind are not renewed, an outward change is of but little worth and but of short standing, end quote. In verses, I'm going to move along very fast. Don't worry, we won't be here all day. In verses 3 through 8, it changes. We are instructed as to how we must act in relation to the church. For I say through the grace given unto me, verse 3, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. He didn't say don't think of yourself. Because see, then you will be depressed and down and thinking you have no worth. He said don't think more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly. What do you mean? Not sober, soberly. Humbly, think, be humble in spirit, according as God have dealt to every man the measure of faith. I submit to you, no man should be boastful of his gifts, talents, looks, fortune, anything, for he did not gift himself. Your gifts are given by God. Give God praise. Don't give yourself praise. Don't stand in the mirror and talk about how good you look. God gave you your looks. And no matter how good you look, you don't look as good as him. You are the creature. He is the creator. The creature can never exceed the creator in anything. Oh, I'm pretty. Oh, I look so good. Oh, I'm just, woo. You are, ooh, so wrong. Verse 4 says, for as we have many members, not people, but limbs. The neck bone connected to the, okay. Those are the members it's talking about in one body. And all members have not the same office. So we, being many, now it's talking about us, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one to another. I don't care how much My foot may not be able to stand my arm. And may move when I do my golf swing, which throws you off. Because you're supposed to be planted in that. My foot may not like my arm. And my foot may decide to do, but they have to work together for the ball to go where I want to hit it. We have to work for the church to go where God wants it. So having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And it mentions seven gifts here. The first, prophecy. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or second, ministry. Let us wait on. That doesn't mean sitting around. It means perform our ministry. Or he that third gift, teach on teaching. Four, he that exhorted on exhortation. Five, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Don't make a big fuss about it. He that ruleth. Six, be with diligence. And he, seventh, that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. That is our relationship in the church. And you know, if you go back and go through that, it'll cover just about everything in the church. Verses 9 through 21, I'm going to speed up. We are instructed on how we must act in relation to society. Verse 9 says, let, whenever you see that, stop. Because it is giving you instructions that let means you have the power to do so. If you let the water come out of the faucet by turning it on, it will run. But if you don't turn it on, you can stand there and talk to it all day. And it won't. And it will be restricted. Let love be without dissimulation. That means without hypocrisy. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't tell somebody, well, I love you. Can't stand her. Let love be without hypocrisy. And then it said, abhor, that is hate. That which is evil. Cleave like crazy glue to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. And honor preferring one another. Now, if you are a person that loves being around your sinner friends more than you do Bible study or church on Sunday, there's something wrong. Like attracts. I remember that from the 6th, 7th grade. Unlike repels. Like attracts. Unlike repels. So if you are so sold on your friends, not slothful in business. It means be diligent. Be on time. Be honest. Fervent, that is boiling over in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. This is what we ought to be doing. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Blessed, that is speak well of them which persecute you. What? Well, no, that's what it said. Blessed, that is speak well of them which persecute you, speak well of and curse not. Whether it's with your mouth, whether it's with your digits, whether it's with your video you posted, that's all speaking. That's how the world knows Christ or know you and what you say about him. Depends on what you post, what you say, what you do. So it does not just, I didn't say that. You said it. I'm off now. Y'all ever notice the president says everything twice? You can believe me. You can believe me. I want to call him two times so bad. Because there was a character in in Goodfellas, a call two times. And he will repeat just as I did. See, I shouldn't have said nothing. I just broke that rule. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. See, I'm almost done. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but look at this, condescend to, that is, be content to be around men of low estate. Some of us want to be around the movers and the shakers. Some of us want to be around the pretty people. Some of us want to be around the popular people. But the Bible says, as it relates to society, be around those that are low. Because, see, they need you more. Recompense. That is payback. No man evil for you. But, Pastor, Paul didn't know what they did to me. You don't know what they did to Paul. If anybody had reason to be angry about the way they were treated, it was Paul. Provide things honest, that is, be accountable in the sight of all men and not just the ones you like. If it be possible. Yeah, I saw the if it be possible. And we'll run around all day and say, I can do all things through Christ. See, Paul set us up there. He set a trap right there for everybody that say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. For whom shall I be? All of us that say and talk about all the things we can do through Christ. He said, if it be possible. Well, it is. As much as lieth in you, which talks about faith, truth, honesty, and all the things it talked about above, live peaceably with how many? In other words, always seek a peaceful and godly resolution to all matters which separate you from others or separate others from themselves. And then he says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith who? Lord. Say that like you mean it. Lord. And then he concludes the matter. Therefore, now he just went to dearly beloved. And then in the next verse, therefore, if thine enemies hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. What? For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire. That means shame and remorse. Y'all ever have somebody that mistreated you and you treated them good? And then they felt kind of uneasy because you should have been mad and yet you weren't. And then everything they had done to make you mad, they kind of backed away from because they know that something ain't right here. You know, maybe I shouldn't have done what I did. Maybe I shouldn't have said what I did, because you ain't all that half bad. But you know what? And then they try to clean up. You know what? Somebody told me. Shame and remorse goes a long way. Even with my dog, I had a word that we had taught him 16 words in the first few months. And one of the words was shame. If he did something, tore up some paper or did something we tell him not to do, I'd say, shame. And he'd put his head down and go back to his spot and sit down and look up. Shame. Because every now and then he wasn't above taking one paper napkin and tearing it up and leaving it on the floor to let you know he was upset. Shame. I understand that shame thing. Verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with, be not overcome of by evil, but overcome evil with, not by good, with good. My brothers and sisters, I'm on my way home. I believe this prescription is the formula for success in the Christian zone. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm going to live in the Christian zone. Unlike the sports zone or the twilight zone, both of which are entered and exited unexpectedly, the Christian zone is designed to be permanent, and it is to be who we become, who we are, and our only way of life. Yet some of us want and are satisfied with the temporary Sunday service zone, where we enjoy some of the fruits of praise and worship, enjoy some of the fruits of rest and restoration, revelation and expectation, and salvation and sanctification. Yet when we leave the Sunday service zone, we leave with no expectation of continuation. And all that we have experienced dies as the minutes on the clock tick on. Those of us who were blessed to be here on Watch Night, soldiers, when Pastor Reynolds preached the power of expectation, that message created a zone in here. And that message thrilled our spirits with the knowledge that we must have expectation of receiving what we claim before we can actually receive it. You must expect it, that God will give it. The Bible is full of zone scriptures. Can I read one? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a... Have you tried to push down a tree lately? A man that's in the will of God, that's in the zone, is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth. In the zone shall prosper. But he's quickly to say, but the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind bloweth or driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly knows own life for them. I submit to you that in Psalm 123, 27, 34, 37, 91, and 121 are all about the zone. Now, I could have gotten more, but I just wanted to give you seven. Now, can I go home? I came to tell you this morning that in the Christian zone, our relationship to ourselves, to our church, to society, will be clear. And it will not be a performance, but a metamorphosis. Not be what we do, but who we are. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't you want to go to the Christian zone? Neighbor, don't you want to live in the Christian zone? But for you see, in the Christian zone, I'm going home, not to think more highly of yourself. Love others as Christ loves us. In the Christian zone, we are to do good avoid evil by properly handling our kingdom and society business. You can't be a good Christian and a bad citizen. Let me say that again. You cannot be a good Christian and a bad citizen. In the Christian zone, we will be on fire, serving the Lord with our time, with our resources, so that we can help others and spread the word of salvation to a dying world. In the Christian zone, we will be patient in tribulation, no matter what comes my way. I don't have to succumb to it, for God has given me the knowledge to call upon his name, the privilege to call upon his name, and know that I can do through who? Do you know it? Do you live it? Can you use it? Say it in the Christian zone. Be of the same mind. Don't love one brother, one sister, one choir member, one preacher, one deacon, one member more than you love another. That's wrong. Christ loves you just like he loves me. Do I have a witness? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm going to love my way into the Christian zone and love and live in the Christian zone. Here's why it works. When something comes your way and you're in the Christian zone, you get a chance in the fastness of how it's coming. God slows you down and you see it coming in slow motion. And you see the outcome. If you make the wrong move, God says, wait. And if you wait on the Lord and be of good courage, I know he will direct your path. But here's the good thing about the zone. When it comes and you see it, you're not in a hurry to get involved in it because you know that God showed it to you. That means he's got it all in control. Do I have a witness? Say yeah. In the zone, you know, not learn. You know, not through somebody else's experience, but you know that all things, even that's coming at you, work together for the good of them who are the called according to his purpose. Look in yourself and say, self, am I called according to his purpose? Am I called to do his will? Am I called into his zone? I'm going to take my seat. But the Christian zone, in the Christian zone, you have the mind which is in Christ Jesus is also in us. Wait a minute. What was the mind that was in Christ Jesus? The mind was in Christ Jesus. That mind one day got up from his throne in glory. said to the Father and the Holy Ghost, if you make me a baby's body, send out some advanced men. Tell them who I am, where I'll be born. Tell Daniel when I'll be born. Tell them the signs to look for. Tell them that I'm coming to save the world. Tell Isaiah to write 700 years before it happened that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of his peace was upon us, and with his stripes we tell him to tell Micah that I'll be born in Bethlehem, a little small sleepy village, come on, like Willamette, and tell him I'll be born of a virgin. Am I right about it? He came down through 42 generations, stepped off right on time, in the right place, through the right mother, at the right place. He stepped off, not in the king's castle, but in a stable for animals. Our Savior was born low that we could be exalted high. Do I have a witness? He was born, and the shepherds rejoiced. He was born, and the wise men rejoiced. He was born, but he lived in Nazareth, where he was raised. And in Nazareth, he went around doing good. He healed the sick, zone. Raised the dead, zone. Fed 5,000 men, not counting the women, with five loaves of bread, two little fish, zone. Walked on the water, zone. Calmed the raging sea, zone. But then when his time here on earth was over, he went up to Calvary, where he presented his body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which was his intention. Do I have a witness? He died for my wretchedness. He died for my sins. He died. But early one Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power in his hand. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all hope is not gone. Because he lives, I can go to the kingdom. And because he lives, I can live in the Christian zone. I don't have to be distressed. I don't have to be messed up, messed over, mistaken, because in the Christian zone, God is in charge, and he leads and guides us. Understand this. You don't have to live in your wretchedness. My whole purpose, and I will take my seat, is this. Whatever's been troubling you and troubled you all last year does not have to trouble you in 2019. He said, I am the way. So now you know the way. I am the truth. Now you know the truth. And he said, I am the life. And now you know how to live. It is as Christ lived. Love. Don't be slothful in business. Don't cuss those that mistreat you. Love even the lowest person. Go pick that person up off the street. Give them some money or whatever you have that you can give. Give them the most important thing you can, and that's the word of salvation. Don't think there's anybody that cannot be saved. Do what Romans said. And I guarantee you, the zone, the Christian zone, will be available to you. When all is going on around you, you'll be in the Christian zone. Singing, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You will be in the Christian zone. Saying the words that God has given us, but not from the voice, from the heart, from the mind. The zone is real. So don't go home. You came here, maybe outside of the zone, but when you go home, look at things differently. Whatever problems at your house is manageable. Turn it over to Jesus. It's not yours anyway. Turn it over and let him be Jesus. Let God be God and you be his servant. I'm going to take my seat. I said that two times. But I just want you to know, this word can set you free. Don't look at the style of saying. Read that 12th chapter. Put it in your heart. If you will follow the 12th chapter of John. Now, let me say this first. You got to be saved. This is not going to work for an unsaved person. It'll make them a better person. But you're not looking to become a better person. You're looking to become what God created you to be. And that's not a better person. That's his own person. Let us stand. God wants you to know and experience that he has not left you alone. He's not picking on you. For those of us that go through a lot of problems, understand this. If you are walking in the word and the ways of God, God is increasing in your eyes. Him and himself, because he's the only one that can carry you. But if you're outside of the will of God and you're having all these problems and your house is not in order, that may be you. But if you know in your heart that I'm doing everything God told me, understand this, it's not punishment. It's not going to last forever. God is there in it. Watch him. Don't get involved in everything. Don't think you have to solve it. Don't think because you're the only one to go to church, you know the best. Don't be in the Sunday service zone. Because see, they believe the same thing. But know that you know that you know you know that you know that you know Jesus. And that you belong to him. Father, I am thankful for this opportunity. Not that I did anything, but I thank you, Lord God, for allowing me to make myself available. That, Lord God, that I, through me, you could speak the word that you desire for somebody to hear today. We realize that every word is not for everybody at every moment, even though it should be. But that, Lord God, every word can be fruitful. So we thank you. Have your way in the hearts of those. We pray that you change somebody. That somebody now knows they're not in this by themselves. And that there is a zone. And that, Lord God, it is real. And you desire that we be in it. And not be moved by every wind of doctrine. But Lord God, by the stability of your word. So we thank you. We bless and praise your name. And in all things, Lord God, we worship you and praise you. And we're so grateful to you. In Jesus' name, let the redeemed of the Lord say amen. Amen. If there is somebody here that this day came in here unsaved. Now, the plan of salvation is this. Jesus came. He is the Son of God. He lived a sinless life to qualify to be the payment of our sins. And that he did that. And that he came not to live, but he came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. He came to die as payment for what we have and will do. Come on, Brother Deacons. And in his coming, he knew all along what was going to happen. Why do you think it was in the Old Testament? You think he was not part of putting that into the mind? So he knew exactly what was happening, what would happen, when it would happen, how it would happen. Remember, he said unto the disciples, one of you is a devil. He picked Judas. So if you're here and you know that God, I came here not knowing who he is, but understand this. The acts that he did around Palestine were not to convince us. It was to do what Romans 12 said. He did good among those who needed it. Somebody touched the hem of his garment and became made whole. What he did for us most of all is that dying on the cross. But if he had died and gone to the grave and we'd never heard anymore, that wouldn't have been enough. But he rose early that Sunday morning with all power in his hand. He ascended to the Father where he sits on the right hand of the Father, making intercessions. That means whenever the devil accuses us before the throne of God, Jesus said, it's paid for by my blood. He did that for you. What will you do for him? He gave himself for you. Will you give yourself for him? Come now if you're unsaved and you seek salvation. We're not going to spend a lot of time doing this. We also invite those who have not walked the walk they should have walked, given God themselves, and Romans 12 convicted you today, then you ought to come down and declare, Jesus, I surrender all, and I give myself to you. That's the second group. The third group, come down if you desire to unite with this church. Coming from some other church, having been baptized by immersion and seeking a church home, come here. We have no schemes. We don't sell anything. We give away that which we have. We come together in love, not come together to make a big congregation. Because somewhere there's a church this morning that has 5,000 to 10,000 people, and they won't mention Jesus. And folk will leave there happy, but they won't leave there saved. And happiness will do you no good in hell. It's a place of torment. They'll have a sprawling parking lot with Mercedes and everything else out in the parking lot. They'll have a huge church building and buses and vans and all of that. And not one Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. He won't be there. They won't let him in. He's too strict. And they'll believe even the devil can be saved. If you're here today and you need, come down. You need Jesus. Come. He knows all about you. Don't make a New Year's resolution, and that's the problem. Somebody said to me the other day, one of my nephews said to me, Uncle Kurt, what did you make for a New Year's resolution? I said, I haven't done it in years. Because see, the resolution is a hook. It's a worldly hook. How does it work? The minute you miss, the enemy says right away, see that? You know you were lying. Knew you were lying all the time. And then you'll feel bad of not keeping what you resolved to do. If you said you're going to quit smoking, quit. If you said you're going to quit cheating, quit. Whatever you said you were going to do in your heart, do it. Don't make a pronouncement about it. Just do it. And you will be much better in the eyes of God because you ever made a false prophet or a false prophecy. I'm going to do this. I'm going to come to church every Sunday. I'm going to do this. Don't lie. Tell yourself that. But don't make that as something that the minute it's gone. I'm going to read every day. Is there one today? Is there one today? Father, I pray in this house that everybody is saved. I pray in this house that everybody is in right relationship with you. I pray for those who are unsaved, who did not come forward. I pray that you give them another opportunity. Let them hear another word of life before their lives are over. Lord God, I pray also that you trouble them, that they cannot come in and hear a word and just go out with no change. I pray you do them like you did Paul, like when you said to Paul, why do you kick against the pricks when you know in your heart and mind that Jesus is Lord? So Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, forgive us all of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Encourage us and receive those, Lord God, who are zone livers. Lord God, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Give God praise.